This is Jack Donahue speaking. I'm meeting today with Will Ravinas. Will is a longtime resident of Solbury and an author of many books, some of which we've covered in our discussions. Today we're going to talk about a little bit broader entity than just Solbury that Will has worked on, but it contains Solbury. It's the Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor. Will wrote and compiled the book on the corridor, which is now pretty much sold out, but we're hoping it would come back to us someday, because it's a font of information about this very important historical area. So, Will, let's take it away. Tell us, please, about your role in the corridor, and then we'll talk about what the corridor itself is.
Well, it all started in November of 1988 with Richard Nixon sitting in the White House twiddling his thumbs, because he really wanted to go on vacation to California, and he was stuck there waiting for something like the national budget from Congress, and that hadn't come through. So on November 18th, 1988, he signed an act to create the Delaware and Lehigh Canal National Heritage Corridor. As an incidental piece of legislation to while away the time. It, of course, is magnificent from our point of view, and this became only the third National Heritage Corridor in America. There were two more before it, but we're number three, and they're now well over 50 all over the United States. So it's the beginning of a new type of park. It's affiliated with the National Park Service. It is a National Heritage Corridor, is protected in some extent by the National Park Service, but it's not administered by or owned by the National Park Service. So it was really great that it was at least created, actually on inspiration by Peter Kostmeyer and others, who was then a congressman from this district. The concept was to protect areas of significance in the country, and I was happily the first chairman of the commission for something like 2 to 3 years, 88 to 91, I think. The effect was that I helped to get the whole thing started, and it's now 25 years later, and the corridor is doing very well, thank you. It is an attraction, and it is, frankly, fascinating. I was involved more with the research and the original setup of the Corridor Commission, which defined and identified the significance of the corridor. From my point of view, it was fascinating for about five or six reasons. The first of all, of course, is that it's the route of the coal barges, coal boats, coming down from the Poconos to the center city of Philadelphia. They came down through the upper reaches of the Lehigh River, down into the Lehigh Valley, then down connected where the Lehigh River joins the Delaware in Easton, comes down through New Hope, Morrisville, and then ultimately Bristol. So it's 165 miles. And that in itself is an interesting story of the history of canals in America and the development of the coal industry, which only started in 1790. So it was after this Revolutionary War. What is also fascinating to me is that this represents a cross-section of the eastern United States, starting in the Appalachian Mountains, coming down through the very productive Lehigh Valley, then on down through the Piedmont District, which is the farmland that we all live in Solbury, and then on down to the sand and gravel plain, which is where Bristol and Morrisville are connected. So if you take any section of the Atlantic coast, this is a nice cross section that is has, of course, biological, botanical, and other reasons to be interested in it. It's also fascinating from a historic point of view. When we did the research on the peoples of the corridor, we sat down and said, well, now, the lower end in Bucks County, there were English and a few Germans. And they said, well, what else did you have? And they said, well, we had a few English and a few Germans. And that was really the sum total until the 20th century. Lehigh Valley, on the other hand, had 50 different ethnic groups. All kinds of immigrants came in to work in the steel mills and on up into the coal regions. So for ethnic history, this is a fascinating area. It is, as I say, a major area for industry. The Lehigh Valley, in very simplistic terms, the Pennsylvania Germans came first and they farmed the valley, which was very productive. Then they scraped off the topsoil and dug up a relatively crude version of iron ore. And they mined the iron ore and created first iron bar and then ultimately steel. And then when they got all done, they put the topsoil back on the soil again, and it is still a productive farming area. But the Bethlehem Steel Company, of course, was the largest steel maker in the world at the time of World War I. Mm-hmm. And so even up to World War II, they would employ 20,000 people. Now Bethlehem Steel is kaput. They've moved south, but the Lehigh Valley has no more Bethlehem Steel. There are also the cultures of the area in terms of the peoples that lived there, the history of the area. It is obviously a cross-section of American history. We have George Washington crossing the Delaware right down below Solbury. We have some of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, William Allen and George, I'll think of in a minute. At any rate, there are two national sites up in the Lehigh and the upper Lehigh Valley where signers of the Declaration of Independence lived. So there is that. There is the early creation of railroading, there's the early creation of trolley systems. All of this took place in this area, which then spawned the art communities, of which we have, of course, the center, but there are also art communities in Allentown, and they're indeed very proud of that.
Wonderful. Bridge building, too, as you point out in your in the book.
There are something like four Roebling bridges up and down the corridor here. So, yeah.
And how they contributed to that early industry that you had talked about.
That's a whole topic in itself. There are many early villages along the way. And our assignment when the act was originally written and signed by Reagan. The National Park Service funded the research to define what it was in the corridor area that was so significant, and to come up with something called an action plan. All right, the action plan here is over an inch thick, and it divides the area into all of its segments and then describes all the things that everybody proposed should be done with pricing, but also a lot of history to define the areas with all kinds of maps. So the research project was really huge at the time. And I would be happy to stand this book up against any action plan from another heritage corridor, because we have so much rich history and landscape and environment to work on. So I think the beauty of it is that there is so much to work on right here within a few miles of New York and Philadelphia. It was from the action plan, which is very heavy reading, I decided that we needed a popular book to define the corridor and define the many, many sites along the way. And so cold-bloodedly, I designed and compiled the complete guide to the Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor, which starts off by defining what a corridor is and then divides up the, at that time, seven different districts of different ecology and different environment, starting with the Lehigh Valley, or actually with Wilkes-Barre is where it starts. And this is fascinating because it defines each one and identifies what is important about it. So then, having done the prepared the research on the different seven districts, I got into the towns along the way and did a summary of both the canals and the cities, Bethlehem, Allentown, Easton, and the trail that goes between them. These are really quite great. I obviously borrowed the maps of the different towns, but it shows how much there is in each area to work with. And many of us would not get to Wilkes-Barre on our own, but this at least describes some of the rather fascinating aspects of it. Then we get down to some of the coal and steel towns, Jim Thorpe, which used to be known as Mauchunk, with all kinds of heritage up there, including Louis Comfort's Tiffany, who did the windows in St. John's Church there.
And it's a great tourist town today.
Oh, fascinating.
Wonderful place to visit.
Well worth the trip. It used to be known as the Switzerland of America, because they had hills that were a right size and shape, and it was just very colorful and interesting. So from the towns, I went into the villages along the way and described them with maps of where to go and what to see, followed by sections on historic homes, on the various industries, the coal and steel industry, the railroad systems, and the interurban transit that was directly related to this, and finally the heritage and the sports activities along the way, which are neat. There's everything from downhill skiing to down to swimming in the summertime.
So the corridor runs from Wilkes-Barre down
to Bristol.
To Bristol.
Whereas the first part of it is the Lehigh portion, and that's 46 miles roughly. And then it's 60 plus miles for the Delaware Canal. So there's lots to see and do. I am amazed that 25 years later, things have happened. It was a dream at the time, and obviously we didn't have really anything more than an act of Congress to work on. But with some initial funding, the Corridor Commission has now done lots of things. First, they, of course, endorsed my book on the corridor, which sadly is out of print, but it has lots of good stuff, and maybe it will be put on the internet one of these days.
Maybe this will help it get republished or put on the internet.
We hope so. The Corridor Commission has followed this book up with a book for teenagers on Johnny and Mary growing up as children of a canal boat operator, and what was it like to walk along the canal driving mules. That's charming, but it doesn't cover anything like the perspective of the corridor. What has happened over the time, however, is that there are signs all along the way, big poster signs, that give you a sense of the history of that particular area. There have to be about 40 or 50 of them now along the way, so that is a real attraction. There are lots of maps put out by the National Park Service and by others along the way for where to go and things to see. There are signs, as I say. There's now also an institution called Landmark Towns, and that's pretty much devoted to Bucks County so far. New Hope, Morrisville, Yardley, Bristol are all landmark towns, and there's a conscious effort to rehabilitate them, to improve them for both their local economies and for people to come and visit and what to see and where to go and what to do. So that's happening. The major steel plant in Bethlehem, of course, is dead. And there's a lot of big steel structure still left there. It's too expensive to take it down, so they just walked away. The steel stacks have been rehabilitated into a major hotel and casino. So if you have leftover money, why, by all means, go up to the casino in Bethlehem. One would have argued that the Moravian community would not endorse a gambling casino, but apparently that casino is doing as well or better than Atlantic City. It's a big operation, and it's represented a major rehabilitation of downtown Bethlehem. Associated with that is the introduction of the Smithsonian Institution, which has come in, and they have endorsed the corridor as an affiliate. That means they plowed some money in, they've helped to build a museum there, and pick up a lot of the leftover Bethlehem steel equipment, railroad engine, the casting equipment, the rehabilitation of the shops, the forge, where all the heavy armaments were created in World War I and World War II. So that in itself is a fascinating addition. Then there are all kinds of ancillary activities. The hospital in the Lehigh Valley suddenly came up with the idea, get your tail on the trail. And this means that they're encouraging people to walk the towpath, which is makes perfectly good sense from a health point of view, but if you do 100 miles, you get a brownie point or something. And there are people getting thousands of miles along the towpath. So that is a great addition. Slowly but surely, the federal government is trying to back away from funding operations like the Corridor Commission. And so it is now a private entity and is subject to membership, which seems to be going fairly well. It's hard to persuade people to be philanthropic and do it on their own when they know that the federal government stands behind it. But that being what it is, the membership is working. The corridor, I might add, is not only a national heritage corridor, but it's also been named a state heritage corridor. So it gets at least endorsement and help from a couple of sources. So I'm just happy to say in conclusion that after 25 years, both it and I are still here. And that's kind of exciting all by itself. Jerry Taylor, who is the husband of Susan Taylor, is executive director of the Friends of Delaware Canal. Jerry and I did a tour of the corridor a year ago, and we drove the length of it from one way or the other. And we're really intrigued with how much has been done, how much has been preserved, how much local initiative has been undertaken. And so it's here to stay, one of the first of America's National Heritage Corridors.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you have helped to achieve here is that this sense of industrial history is encouraged, where we look at coal country as being impoverished largely in towns that are almost deserted or don't have much going on anymore, and where the industry has gone away. But what all of this does, your book and the signage and all that the corridor amounts to, it enables us all to get a sense of all the great things that really happened here in this part of the world that maybe you don't see so easily today. You have to go back and read about it and go and see it and kind of imagine what was there. And your book helps us to do that, I think.
Well, it was lots of fun. And the corridor is still lots of fun to go explore. I'm expecting and hoping that sometime soon New York Times will do their 36-hour weekend tour of this area.
Good idea. You know,
there's plenty here to work on.
I'm sure you've suggested that to them.
In all modesty, yes.
All right. Thanks very much, Will.